We're continuing the laws of Shabbos, and we're going to learn Siman Reish Mem Chet. These halachot speak about setting sail, going by ship, before Shabbat. The Braita, the Talmud, tells us that one should not set sail 3 days prior to Shabbos, and for a mitzvah, one may. What is the reason for not setting sail into the big sea 3 days prior to Shabbos? So we have different opinions, and we learn halachot from these different opinions. Maimonides is of the opinion that the first 3 days that a person travels by sea, one is usually seasick. The first 3 days of traveling, one doesn't feel well when traveling by sea. And so the Rambam learns that this halacha teaches us that you shouldn't willingly enter a scenario where you won't feel well on Shabbos. And from this halacha, as it is ruled in Shulchan Aruch, we learn, for example, that if a person is going to have elective surgery, there's surgery that you choose to have, but it's not critical. So one should prefer to do it on a Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, rather than a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. One should not put oneself in a situation where they would have to be in the hospital or in pain over Shabbos if one has a choice in the matter. We also learn from here with regards to a circumcision. We know that we do a circumcision on the eighth day, even if it falls out on Shabbos. The exception being if the child is a C-section, if the child did not have a natural delivery, then we do not do a circumcision on Shabbos. If the child was ill and you could not perform the circumcision on the eighth day, so if the circumcision is being performed on a different day, if it's past the eighth day, then we would not do it on Shabbos. Would we do it on Friday or Thursday? So this is a point of conflict. We have machloket among the commentaries in Shulchan Aruch whether a brit she'eino bizmano, a circumcision that is not on the eighth day, it's been delayed. Well, if it's not on the eighth day, then do you do it on a Thursday or a Friday? Or do you say, avoid having the child in pain over Shabbos, even though the child is a 10-day-old baby? So very often we go with the opinion that says, based on this halacha, don't let a Jew be in pain over Shabbos. Wait and do the circumcision on Sunday. So according to Rambam, that's the halacha we learn over here, that we try to avoid situations that a person would be in pain over Shabbos from 3 days prior to Shabbos. The next opinion is that we were concerned that along the journey there might be a need for one to do things that would transgress Shabbos. So let's say you're traveling with a caravan, or you're traveling by sea, and you know that it happens as you're traveling that suddenly there's a storm or suddenly there's a need, and they're going to tell you, you hold the mast there, you tie the sails over there. Well, tying sails on a ship is a biblical prohibition. Untying a knot that holds the sail can also be a biblical prohibition. Tying the mast, untying the mast, tying the anchor, untying the anchor. There can be many tasks in guiding a ship that would involve a prohibition. And so may one board a ship when one knows that it's very possible that things will come up where they'll tell him, you have to help us. Let's say one is joining a caravan and they're traveling. They're going to travel through the Sahara. Well, what will happen on Shabbos? So one may tell them, one may agree with them in advance that they don't travel on Shabbos. And then when they'll be in the middle of traveling, they'll say, we know we agreed, but we really have to travel anyways. And that would also be okay. So again, if one leaves to on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, so then a person can say, I'm not responsible now to worry that on Shabbos there might happen something which will force us to desecrate Shabbos. if one's leaving on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there one has a responsibility to say, if they might need me over Shabbos to work on the ship, then I can't go on that ship. So that's the second understanding of this halacha. And it's also quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So the rule is, from Wednesday onward, I have to be concerned that I might have to transgress Shabbos. Before Wednesday, I'm allowed to go on that journey, even though it might happen that in the end, I'm going to have to partner with them and work with them on that ship and do acts which would involve desecrating Shabbos. This is one of the examples where the Shulchan Aruch tells us that ascending to Israel is a mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to join a caravan when they're going to do a mitzvah, even if they leave on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the example the Shulchan Aruch gives is if it's a caravan ascending to the land of Israel. So that's a mitzvah. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have such a caravan, you're allowed to join them, even if they're leaving on Friday, because you're going for a mitzvah. You'll have to stipulate that they pause over Shabbos, and then if they don't, you'll go with them. It's interesting that the Mishnah Brura over here has a discussion. Is it a mitzvah to ascend to Israel if you're not going to live there? So some are of the opinion that when the Shulchan Aruch said ascending to Israel is a mitzvah, he was talking about someone who's going to live in the land of Israel. And others say it's a mitzvah even if you come back, you walked 4 footsteps in Israel, that's a mitzvah. So the idea of walking 4 footsteps in Israel being a mitzvah, that's here in the Mishnah Brura. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that if a person travels to Israel and they just want to go touring, so the Baal HaTanya, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, says he's not sure if that's a mitzvah. If a person says, I'm here in Israel and I want to settle the land, the time that I'm here, I'm doing the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, so then even every 4 footsteps is a mitzvah. But if a person comes here and his thought is, he's not even thinking about settling the land, he just, let me see the sights. So then, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, I'm not sure that's called, he's traveling to do a mitzvah in the land of Israel. So that's what my wife told me, that when they were children and they'd go on trips, so they'd teach them the following song. Achat, shtayim, shalosh, mitzvah. Achat, shtayim, shalosh, mitzvah. 1, 2, 3, mitzvah. Every 3 footsteps, the kids should think, hey, I'm doing a mitzvah. 1, 2, 3, mitzvah. 1, 2, 3, mitzvah. Why? Because then, even if you're touring, even if you're going on a hike, you're doing a mitzvah. I'm settling the land. And I have a friend that every time we get lost when we're traveling, he says, have you ever been here before? And I say, no, I don't know where we are. And he says, good, so you're doing another mitzvah, another 4 footsteps. You were never here before, right? So be happy we got lost. Okay. That's...
Chant they would do was
Hajj Daim Shalosh Abba, Yeshi Khalik Lola
Abba.
Very nice.
But I asked a question just practically today, whether to Israel, not to Israel, do airplanes, taking a trip by airplanes on a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday count as a caravan or by sea, or
why would you think that traveling by airplane you're going to have a problem over Shabbos? There's no problem. You don't get seasick traveling in an airplane. And you have no reason to think you're going to stay on that plane over Shabbos. So there's no problem flying on a Wednesday or a Thursday. Friday, depends if it's an hour flight. You're not supposed to travel after noon on Friday. You're supposed to reach your destination noontime. So ideally, a person would not choose a flight that lands at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. Yes, Vinny.
I've always been a little perplexed about the Shulchan Aruch here, because I didn't understand if he was trying to bring like a big mitzvah, like he was trying to, sinyan in the Shulchan Aruch, or I'm saying the tour says things like derut nechavercha, which is good, but it's, you know, because Eretz Yisrael is shakul kinyan kol mitzvot, and I you know, which one is it?
I think that being that the Shulchan Aruch in the next seif brings that opinion, so in this seif, I think he meant to give you a bona fide mitzvah. The next seif, now the next halacha, the Shulchan Aruch brings the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam quoted in the Mordechai, where Rabbeinu Tam says you should know that other things are mitzvah. There are mitzvos which we sometimes don't remember that they're mitzvos. To go and see your pal, who you haven't seen in a while, that's also a mitzvah. So we encounter this concept on Chol HaMoed, where it says you're not supposed to write on Chol HaMoed, but for a mitzvah you're allowed to write. So over there it says you should know that writing your friend a letter to retain a friendship between the two of you, even though it's just a friendly letter, that's also a mitzvah. So the actual discussion of this concept is actually, interestingly enough, about Eretz Yisrael and Chol HaMoed, where the Gemara says that when a person comes from a journey on Chol HaMoed, they're allowed to shave and take a haircut because he wasn't able to when he was on the ship, when he was in the middle of the Sahara, he didn't have an ability to take a haircut. So even though you're not supposed to take a haircut or shave on Chol HaMoed, if a person has certain mitigating circumstances, then he may. One example is if he comes back from a journey. So the Gemara says that depends in yatza birshut or lo yatza birshut. The Gemara says if he traveled litayel, he went out just for an excursion, he went out touring, so then we say, buddy, when you come back you can't take a haircut. So the commentaries ask, why not? And there are two opinions among the commentaries. One opinion says it's talking about someone who left Israel. And the rabbis say, no. What's wrong with you? You left Israel to go touring? We're not giving you any leniencies. No way you're going to take a haircut when you get back. So this Gemara is a source for a phenomenal concept, the idea that you don't leave Israel for touring. The next line in the Gemara discusses, well, what about if he went because he had to make a livelihood? So it says, then you don't put any taxes on him. Nothing wrong with that. That seems to say that Gemara, that leaving to make a livelihood is considered leaving for a mitzvah. So that's, I'm saying, so that's the source for the next concept. That little piece of Gemara is the source for A, the concept of leaving Israel being inappropriate, B, the concept that going to make a livelihood is considered a mitzvah, and C, a third very interesting concept. The Gemara says, what about laharvacha? What about if a person wants to travel because they want to make money? So this Gemara is also a source for the discussion of how much money is one supposed to make in one's life. Meaning, how much work am I supposed to put in to make a livelihood? When do I say, you don't need that much money, buddy, get back to learning Torah, get back to the land of Israel. At what point does the halacha say, you shouldn't be spending your time doing that? So this Gemara, which discusses leaving, going on a journey, and coming back on Chol HaMoed, is the source for three major halachos. These three concepts. Moed Katan. Moed Katan should be around Tetvav, something like that. It's Amar Aleph in the middle. If you bring me Moed Katan, I'll look for it. So coming back to our halacha. So here, the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring that, but the Ramah at the very end of this siman brings Yesh Omrim. There are those who say that even traveling for business is also considered traveling for a mitzvah, and one would be allowed to go on that journey on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the Ramah doesn't say, I agree with that opinion. The Ramah says, such an opinion exists, and as such, if someone does that, don't give him over the head, because they have who to rely on. So the Ramah gives a very minimal level of credence to this opinion. It's an opinion of major Rishonim, and the Rama indicates over here that we give it that level of credence that if someone does it, then we don't hold it against them. Don't give them over the head, because it is an opinion that one could rely on. That's the level the Rama gives it. He doesn't say, yeah, you can do that. He says, there are people who do that, and you can't come out against them. They have what to rely on. Obviously, this concept has to be quantified, because as other commentaries who argue on this opinion point out, how far are you going to take this? We don't think that Rabbeinu Tam meant to say that a guy shouldn't go out and buy his lulav because he's busy doing a mitzvah, he's running in his store. Rabbeinu Tam did not mean to say that a person can argue all day, I'm busy doing a mitzvah, I'm making my living, I'm doing a mitzvah, leave me alone, I don't have to daven, I don't have to say Kriya Shema, I don't have to put on film today, I don't have to buy a loaf and esrog, I'm doing a different mitzvah, I'm busy, I'm making money. That's not what Rabbeinu Tam meant. Rabbeinu Tam did not mean to say that we should consider our business or our livelihood as a mitzvah in the sense that it would allow us to forgo other mitzvot. So that's where it gets a little sticky. On the one hand, he's willing to let you go on a journey where you might end up transgressing Shabbos because he considers your livelihood a mitzvah. And that's why most opinions did not accept this opinion. And even the Rama that quoted it on that level to say, hey, if someone relies on it, they have what to rely on. He didn't say, go ahead, go with this opinion. He said, the opinion exists, it has credence, and you have to respect those who follow it because they do have who to rely on.